Yud Gimel. So, Chiyuv Ishtadlus is Rak Oynesh Ugzeira. Gam Kedesh Lo Yechto. That's just his title that he gives, which makes it a little bit easier to deal with. Hinei. Vihinei Lohoyo Roy Lo Odom Hasholem Lihishtadl Bishum Sibo Mea Sibois. The person, it wouldn't have been proper for a person who is a sholem, person who is complete in fullness in his level, in his purity, in his midas, in his avodas Hashem, to do any ishtadlus, any sibah, to do anything wouldn't have been appropriate. B'chol hitztarchuso hoyu mizdamnin loy v'loy shum yigia, and all of his needs would have been provided for him without any effort whatsoever. Now, he does say all of his needs. I don't know how that reflects on luxuries. I don't know what, the Odom HaRishon before the Chet, maybe he didn't need luxuries, maybe he had all the luxuries as Gan Eden, but he says clearly his needs would have all been provided for him. Just like we find Odom HaRishon, Kodem HaChet, Shehoyu, what was his matzav? Shehoyu malochim tzoylin loy bosor, u'misanin lo yayin. Chazal say that when the Malochim saw Odom HaRishon, they saw such godliness that they were roasted meat for him and sifted wine for him. They wanted to serve this godly creature. That's what they looked at this person, and I guess based on that, he says, all of his needs would have been taken care of. Because if the Malochim are providing for your needs, if they're cooking for you, they're providing your drinks, taking care of all your needs, so then you wouldn't have to do anything. Rak achar kach nigzera olov b'zeya sapecho toich alechem. After the chet of eating from the Eitz Hadas, there was a gzera. And the gzera upon him was, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread, meaning that you got to work. That there is no such thing as the Malochim going to roast meat for you and prepare your wine. But a person has to work. That's part of the result, the klola actually, that took place with the eating for the Eitz Hadas. Shenenash, he was punished. Sheyia yegia lahasik srochov, that there must be effort to get his needs. B'zeh begeder oynish. And this is begeder, this is in the form of an oynish. Now, some very interesting language over here. First of all, this b'zeh asapecho toich alechem, what is that about? It was a punishment. They ate from the Eitz Hadas. What does that represent? So there are many things that we see in the eating of the Eitz Hadas. But one of the things that we find, Rashi brings it when it says that they built the Migdal. And it says, HaMigdal HaShabonu B'nei HaOdom. So Rashi brings over there, B'nei HaOdom? Well, what would you have thought? B'nei Chamirim U'Gmalim? What's the Torah telling? The Torah doesn't say an extra word. Says the Migdal Bovel, right, at the end of Parshas Noach, Asher bonu b'nei ha'odom. Ke'ilu to tell me something. Says, it's not going to tell me that I thought they were gemalim and chamoirim. Elo b'nei odom horishoin shekofa b'toivosoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are the descendants of Odom HaRishon, who was lacking somewhat in his appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when he was called on his chet, what did he say? Ho'isha asher nosato imodi. She gave it to me. In other words, he didn't appreciate to the fullest the gift of this Ezer Kenegdoi that he got, right? And he sort of said, in a way, to Hashem, ho'isha asher nosato imodi. You know, like a lack, a kfias teva, a word, it's probably a very ever so slight, but something in those words represented a lack of fully appreciation of the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him. And that, the expression of that lack of appreciation, now, the expression of that lack of appreciation brought to this klola of b'zeh asapecho toich alechem. And that b'zeh asapecho toich alechem, in a sense, can be viewed as midah keneged midah. Mida keneged mida. You didn't appreciate what I gave you, the gifts that I gave you, so you're lacking in appreciation. I can't give you everything for free. I can't give you everything without working for it. you're not going to appreciate. If you're not going to appreciate it, then it's going to be, the kindness is going to be lost on you. So rather, what I have to do is, I have to make you work for it. And something very interesting, as a double-edged sword, working for it does two things. Number one, when you work for it, you appreciate it. You know, the famous thing that the old man Rockefeller said, he and his son Junior used to use the same driver. So the driver once asked him, Mr. Rockefeller, how come when your son drives me, he gives me a $25 tip when I drive your son? And when I drive you, you only give me a $5 tip. He says, I didn't have a rich father. You know, like, he worked for it. If you worked for it, you appreciate it. So part of the klola is, you didn't appreciate. I cannot trust you to appreciate and really recognize Hashem's chesed. And chesed is very important. Chazal say, if you do chesed for someone, you have to let him know. Because otherwise there's an opportunity to develop appreciation, which is such a beautiful midah, such a critical ingredient in people living together. You know, if somebody opens his house and hosts an event, and we have to all be very appreciative. And if we're lacking that, it's a terrible chesed. So, mitzad echod, if you don't appreciate, you're not going to appreciate anything. You have to work for it to appreciate. But in this klola lied a tremendous brocha. And here's the Alter from Slabotka points out, because Chazal say, Odom roitze bekav sheloi mitisho kabin shel chaveroi, that in this curse of Zeas HaPecha Toich HaLechem, which was necessary to develop a deeper sense of appreciation because we work for it, lies a great brocha. Because a person would rather have, enjoys more, something that he earned than nine times or ten times, I don't know, Echod mitet, then Tisha Kabin, however, I don't know the math too well, but nine or ten times more than if it would have been given to him by someone else. So in the worst of the klola, this is the klola that the whole world has to suffer from. We all have to work. We can't sit and have the malochim cook for us. Mitzad sheni, now we have a deep appreciation. When a person earns something, he can appreciate it, he earned it, and that's memela. In this tremendous klola lies a great broch.
Adam Arishon didn't have an appreciation?
What?
Adam Arishon didn't have an appreciation?
I guess there was some. Well, the expression that he said, Oisha Shinasato Imodi, which was lacking in appreciation, right? Because that's what Rashi says. Ela b'nei Odom Harishon shekofa b'toivos HaShem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He denied on some level the toivah. So it could be that this was his mistake, or it could be that everything that he had was so much given to him, and that was the cause of his lack of appreciation.
What was that, a time that way.
What?
What was that a time
of? No, because still, the person has to rise above it. You know, again, life tainus are very narrow. There's a point where you could get beyond it, and we understand if you didn't, and it's human not to, but Odom Harishon should have gone beyond that. And if he didn't, he's taking it to task. Anyway, I don't know, that's a little bit conjecture, but let's leave that for now. Okay, that's one aspect. So one aspect is Poshet this klola, but in this klola lies a tremendous brocha. But then he goes on. V'gam achar she'ocho me'etz hadas, nitoisef lo'y netia el hora ve'hataiva. Etz hadas also represented something else. When he lodas toivoro, the posuk says, he now had desires. Until then, Odom Harishon was like a malach. Like when you want to talk about somebody who's innocent, he's unaware of this, of the desires of the world, of the frailties of human beings, say, ah, he's holding by Odom Rishon Koidem Achet. That's like they talk about some naive people, you know, halt noch by Odom Rishon Koidem Achet. You know, like this naive person doesn't know what the world that we live in. So that's Odom Rishon. Before the Chet, he was naive. But after the Chet, Nitoisef Loi, he had a Netia. The das, he knew what ra was. He had desire, and the mela, he had new level of temptation. And if he would have been left as it was before, now I'm a person who has taiva, and I know the difference. I know there's good and bad in the world, but now I still don't have to work because I'm in Gan Eden. He'd be available all day long to sin because he has taiva and he has nothing to do all day. He brings a posuk. He says, Shabbat, it brings a Mishnah. Shabbat, or one noshin matol minim they shiamum. Matola brings to lewdness, proptoma brings to boredom, and boredom brings to all kinds of terrible things. So part of this klola was also because of the fact that from eating from Eitz Hadas, Olam became savvy as to the temptations of the world. And of course that he passed on to his children in very generous measures that we know. And Mimela, if he had been left to just sit in Gan Eden with no work to do, nothing to do, everything comes min hashamayim, it would have been a terrible scene. There would have been he would have been sinning all the time. So with Al Kain, Nigzar Olav Hayegia Al Derech Omram Yofet Al Maturim Derech Eretz Shigia Shnei Mashkach HaSodom. Therefore, this girl, we'll get to that in a moment, what that means. But it's very interesting. Al Kain, Nigzar Olav Hayegia Al Derech, Nigzar Olav Hayegia. What does that mean? You know, it was a punishment. No question about it. But we, I think, and Hashem, have sometimes different concepts of punishment. Punishment, in certainly to Adam Rishon, doesn't seem to be to get you for the chet that you did. It's to compensate for the yerida, for the loss of your spiritual heights that you were before you did the chet. You know, when we talk about punishment today, maybe as parents, sometimes we make that mistake. As machanchim, we can make that mistake. You know, we did something wrong, there's a punishment. That's not what a punishment is. In fact, the word that's used for punishment, besides einish, is yisurin, right? Yisurin. What are yisurin? Liyaser is to reprimand. The punishment is a reprimand. It's not meeting out an eye for an eye, you know, to get you for what you did. But because all we really care about, all Hashem really cares about, and all we should really care about, emulating Hashem, is to teach the person the lesson and to compensate when necessary for the loss that took place. Sometimes we have to be harsh in certain punishments because of what a person was introduced to in their mistake that they made. So unless we're going to be strong, they're not going to get out of that habit or that addiction or that problem or that taiva. So we have to take strong positions. But those positions are all about helping. And that's a very important point. Sai for us as parents and teachers, and sai to recognize in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that this, you know, unfortunately today, when you interview many young people and you would ask them, because I've done this, and they don't all say the same words, but very often, all too often, it's the same idea. Give me a thought or a posuk that describes Hashem to you, you know, and your concept of Hashem. More often than not, I get the equivalent of Kel Nekomais Hashem, the God of vengeance, punishment, fear, retribution, things like that. But the truth of the matter is that from the very first punishment that took place, it was all a system of correcting the downfall, of correcting the blemish that came to the person. Adam HaRishon was now lacking in Hakaras HaToiv, so he had to enhance his Hakaras HaToiv. So number one, he had to work so he'll appreciate it. Number two, he was created or infused with this psychology that he is going to be more happy with this than nine times more that he would have gotten for free. Because then I earned it. I worked for it. And that's our nature. And that's why, what's the highest form of tzedakah? To give a person a job, right? Give a person a job is the highest form. Why? Because he's working for it. He's not taking a handout from anybody. He can appreciate it. Appreciate it. That's what Rockefeller really said. I didn't have a rich father. I appreciate money. My son doesn't appreciate money. This is the idea. So when we look at Hashem's punishments, we have to look at them as lessons. We have to look at them as tikkunim, as fixing things that are broken within the system, within the individual, rather than Khalil looking at it as a vengeance and as a, I'll get you back. You know, you really deserve to burn for this. Okay, but then he says something else. He says, Al kein nigzar olav hayegia, al derech omrom. And he says, this is the negia is like to fulfill this concept. Yofet al maturim derech eretz, shigias shnei mashkachas ovin. It's good to have Talmud Torah to learn. With Derech Eretz means making a living, because the Yegiyah that you put into both of them will be Mashkachas Ovoin, will cause one to forget sinning. In other words, I'm working, I'm learning. That's a lot of work. It's hard work, believe it or not. And I'm working. That, you know, is hard work. Some people, I guess, don't believe it, but believe it or not, it's hard work. And Memela, these two things, I'm so busy day and night, you know, I have no time to sin. It's mashkachas. It's forgotten. But in this concept, there's a diktuk, another a beautiful pshat that the Rabbeinu Simcha, who's a rishon in the Machzeh Vitri, says, and I think it's kedai to mention, because it could be that he's bothered by a question. Because if he's bringing this mimer just to prove that work was for the purpose of not to sin, is that the purpose of Talmud Torah also? Why is Talmud Torah connected with this? L'chora, the Mashkachas Ovin has nothing to do with the Talmud Torah in the Maimer Chazal. It only has to do with the Derech Eretz. You work, so you won't come to sin. All of a sudden, Talmud Torah became involved in this also. You learn, so you won't come to sin. Well, yes, true, on a different level, but not with Yegiyah Shneim, not because of the Yegiyah. So let me tell you what the Rabbeinu Simcha says, a very beautiful thing. He says like this. He says, this Mishnah, it's a Mishnah in Ovois, is talking about Hilchas Gzela. Not talking about Talmud Torah learning Daf Yomi or learning a Masechta or learning anything. It's talking about learning Hilchas Gzela. Stealing. He says, if you do Talmud Torah, you learn Hilchas Gzela, and you have a parnosa, so you have minimal temptation to steal, because yeah, I make a living, you know, I don't really need to steal. The Yegiyah that's put into both will be Mashkachas Ovoin. Then you won't sin, because like this, I work, but you know, but my neighbor has more, and I can't afford every luxury that all the neighbors have over here. And I want this, and my eyes are popping out of my head, and this and that and the other thing. So, oi, but if you have, I may be tempted, or steal, cheat, something. But if I do Talmud Torah, learn Hilchas Gzela, Halacha Loi Sigzel, and all the halachas in the Rambam, it tells how serious it is, and what you have to do, and how you have to make restitution, and how Kupa Malei Avinos Gezel Makatrik Beroish. If there's a box full of Averis, Gezel comes to the top and accuses the person first. That's like the worst of the worst. So once I learn Hilchas Talmud Torah about Gezel, and I don't have the temptation because I have a job and I make a living, then there'll be Mashkachas Ovoin. But if that's the case, what's the Loshon Mashkachas Ovoin? Cause to forget. I shouldn't say I would forget. It should say I won't sin. Right? I'm forgetting to sin. I'm not forgetting to sin. I'm not tempted to sin because I have a parnosa and I learned Hilchas Gzela, so I just know that you don't steal. That's just not something we do. So what's Mashkachas? I think the Pshat, the Rabbeinu Simcha, is like this. And this, I think, is a worthwhile insight because it shows how Torah affects us. When we learn Hilchas Gzela, it makes Gzela min hanimna. It's forgotten. I can't steal. It's out of the question. Much as, you know, every time I ask this to a group, I say, please don't comment. But how many people ever really considered murder? Please don't comment. You know, even you people over there. No, we don't. That's out of the pale of our thinking. So the same thing. When you learn Hilchas Gzela, then if you don't have a parnosa, so even though it's out of the pale of thinking, I don't have what to eat, I don't have this, I might come to think of stealing. But if I learn Hilchas Gzela, and I don't have that temptation because I have a basic parnosa, so it's Mashkachas Ovoin. So we see that the koyach that the Torah has to be mashpia on us is to put us in a realm where the violation of the halachas that I learnt is beyond me. I can't consider it. I don't think of it. It's falt mir nicht ein. It doesn't dawn on me to do such a thing because I just learned Hilchas Gzela. Now, if I wouldn't have a parnos, it might dawn on me anyway. But both together, it's a winning combination. So I think that's another pshat in this Mishnah, and that explains why he mentions both. Okay, let's leave that. But then he goes, and it goes one step further. And he brings a Mishnah in Kiddushin, which is very significant. It says, Ukid Isa b'Kiddushin, this is the Mishnah at the end of Kiddushin, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ro'isa mi'omecha chayo ve'oif she'esh lehem umnes. Do you ever see an animal or a bird that has a profession or a business or a calling or a trade? It says, "V'hei misparnes in shalei b'tzar." Yeah, they get their parnosa. They don't work. They get their parnosa. So it says, "V'haloi loy nivru el sham sheni." They're only here in this world to serve me. "V'ani nivreisi l'shamesh es koini." And I'm on a much higher level. I'm here to serve Hashem. Shouldn't I also be misparnes shalei b'tzar? If the ones that are here in this world to serve me get their parnosa without any suffering, just comes to them naturally, I who am here to serve Hashem, I should certainly get my parnosa shalei b'tzar. And that seems to be a yashrus. That kal v'chomer is a yashrus. We should get parnosa shalei b'tzar. And that means, because this Mishnah is after the Chet of Adam Rishon, this Kal V'Chomer that's brought in the Mishnah really should mean that we should get. I'm here to serve Hashem. That's my purpose. I should get Parnosa Shalei B'Tzar. Elo, what happened? Shehari Oisias Masai. I've evil done my ways. I made my ways not so good. I did evil things. V'Kipachti Es Parnososi. And therefore, I folded in, I covered, I limited my parnosa. Therefore, a person has to work. So it seems that we can't blame it all on Odom HaRishon. You know, and that's, I don't know, there is such a concept in a different religion, though. But we can't blame it all on Odom HaRishon. We are true to form descendants of Odom HaRishon. We do the same thing. Mitzad Echod, we're here to serve Hashem. And just like the birds get Shalei B'Tzar for serving us, we should certainly, Kal V'Chomer, it's a beautiful Kal V'Chomer, that we serve Hashem, we should also be Mefarnes Shalei B'Tzar. But we, unfortunately, we act in such a way where we can't be Zeichet to that. And since we can't be Zeichet to that, that's why we have to put in the effort and go through that Tzar. Even though that sound is what makes us appreciate it more, no question about it, but we still have to go through that because otherwise we're not on the level because of what we have done. But I just want to mention one other thing, and we'll just open up the conversation. I don't know if it's going to, how much we'll be able to deal with this right now. But the Mishnah that he quotes starts a little bit before that. I mean, it starts a lot before that. But look at this. Rebbe Meir Oimer. Lo'oilam yalamed odem espenoi umnes nekiyo v'kalo. This is the last Mishnah in Kedushin. A person should teach his son on umnes that's nekiyo v'kalo. Okay. Nekiyo v'kalo sounds like noki. I don't know. You know, it's clean. It's not so overwhelming. Kala, I guess that's kala, means it's easy. Generally speaking, with what he seems to be describing, one would not imagine that the greatest parnosa comes from that. It says, V'yispale l'misha oishav anachosim shaloi. And he should pray to the one who is the owner, who's the controller of all wealth and possessions. So, automatically, immediately, he says, umnes kalanakir. So Reb Meir understands that most people are not going to be satisfied with umnes kalanakir. If umnes kalanakir brings minimum wage, I'm not so happy with that. You know, I like some luxury, I like additional things, you know. So he says, immediately, yeah, of course you want OSHA. You had to get it? But then he continues, She'ein umnes she'ein bo anius v'ashirus. There is no umnes that doesn't have wealth, poverty, and wealth. She'loi anius mina umnes v'loi ashirus mina umnes. Anius and ashirus are not from the umnes. Ela hakoil lefi schusoi. Everything depends on the person's schus. So this is a very strong statement. And then it goes on what we just read from the Kal V'Chomer of Rebbe, the one that the Beis HaLevi just brought. But this is a very strong statement, and it unnerves people sometimes, and it's worthy of some attempt to explain, but certainly worthy of putting the question on the table. And that is, he says very clearly, umnis kalav nikiyah is enough, not necessarily one that's going to produce ashirus, and be mispalel to the baal ha'oish of hanachosim. And the truth of the matter is, why? It makes a lot of sense. Because there is no umnis that doesn't have ashirus and anius, because the umnis is not what's responsible for a person's wealth or a person's poverty. It's all totally in his chusim. Now, this is the reality. We have kashas, you know, it happens to be this gentleman's great-grandfather, Shai Zizlatnik, Rav Mendel Levine. He used to say, he was a Talmud Chochum Muflug, whose whole world was just Torah, yet he knew everything else about everything else in the world also. But that's besides the point. They're a very interesting person. But anyway, so he used to say, if you have a kasha between the halocha, or the mishnah, and the metzias, it's a kasha on the metzias, not on the halocha. This is Torah Misinai. Torah Misinai teaches us that the umnis is not what's responsible for the money, for the parnosa. An umnis brings a certain kalanikia, brings a sustenance. Parnosa will come from kalanikia. That's what kalanikia must mean. Kalanikia doesn't mean below substandard, that you should work, that you can't even support your family. No, kalanikia. But you should have many hours to learn, you should have many hours to take care of your children, you have many hours to do chesed, to do whatever else you want to do. So the pshat is that why? What about the ashiras, which most people do want, nechosim, that most people do want? He says, nechosim and ashirus don't come from the parnosa. They come from the baal hanechosim and the baal ashirus, and turn to him and put your trust in him, and he says, and pray to him. The goyin happens to say that the shirish of the word tefillah, in this parsha we just read Shabbos, Yaakov said to Yosef, "Ro'i ponecho lo'i pilolti," and Rashi says, "Lo'i mla'ani libi lachshev." I never allowed myself to have a positive thought that I'd ever see you again. Ro'i ponecho lo'i pilolti, and the Goyin writes that pilel is the sherish, the same sherish as the word tefillah, which means what tefillah really is an optimistic machshava, a positive machshava. So I would say tefillah is what we have to do. Bitochen certainly also does, because everything is totally in tzchusim, and bitochen is even a greater tzchus than tefillah. As we may have pointed out here, I don't remember, but the Arachayim HaKodesh says that when the Bnei Yisrael were coming out of Mitzrayim and Paro was pursuing behind them, and the Yam Suf raged in front of them, and there were wild animals on both sides, and Moshe Rabbeinu was crying to Hashem, "Help!" So Hashem says to Moshe, "Matitzak Eli, Dabra Bnei Yisrael v'yisoo. What are you calling to me? Speak to Bnei Yisrael and let them go into the Yam Suf." So the Archaim says, "Matitzak Eli, to whom would you like us to pray?" So he says, "No, there was a kitrik. Because of what he did in Mitzrayim, the Sultan was able to interfere with the tefillah, but not with the Emunah Bitochen. Dabra Bnei Yisrael v'yiso, tell them, have Bitochen, go into the Yam Suf, and the Yam Suf will split. V'kachave." So Bitochen has a koyach even beyond that of tefillah. But anyway, so we see here clearly from here that everything is totally in our schusim. It's the tefillah, it's the bitochen, it's the schusim. You see some people that their parnosa seems to be greater because of the profession that they're in. And you see some people that are in a profession or a trade that generally makes less. And there seems to be some correlation between the job that you take or the profession that you train for, so forth and so on. It's a kasha on the metzias. The answer, I don't think we can go into it now. It's a long thing. Maybe we could try next time. But the answer probably lies with understanding a lot of other factors that exist. The Gemara says that such a thing as mazel. It says, "Bonav chay mezeinat luyim b'mazel." Children, life, and parnosa are totally in mazel. And then the Tosfos says, "Akasha," the Gemara says, "Ein mazel Yisrael." So another Gemara says, "There's no such thing." So Tosfos answers, "There is a mazel, but it's not binding because our tefillas and our schusim can change the mazel. So it could be that certain people have a mazel to make more money, and it could be that because those people have a mazel to make more money, their mazel guides them into these professions that make more money. But the reality is that all that is negotiable. The only thing that's not negotiable is b'zeh asapecho toich alechem. That we have to do, and the rest we could continue this discussion maybe next time.